Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
What's up, friendos, and welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the second half edition. We ain't talking about the second half. We're talking today, kind of, I guess, about the second half. We're not going to do, like, here are the players that are going to, like, break out in the second half and all that type of stuff. No, we are literally putting our money where our mouth is. We drafted right. The second half. This ain't no mock. This ain't no, like, you think these guys will be good. We literally drafted for the second half in our home league. We had the Roto champion. We're doing a head-to-head with playoffs. We did it Wednesday night. This is a league that counts. We have drafted for the second half, and we are going to break down what some of those results in our teams look like for a second half draft and where we are betting players are going to be good or bad. Mr. Bogman.
Yeah, it was a fun draft. 12 people in here. It was late, kind of a late night draft for at least East Coast. And
everybody showed up too. Actually, absolutely shocked that everybody shows up. Everything we always do. This league has been a little bit better. There's always a person or two that's like, oh, like auto draft. Thank God we're getting rid of more of those people. We used to have home league issues where it was like 4 or 5 people. That's like maybe 1 or 2 on a given year, but 0.
Makes it harder too when people aren't taking the screwy picks that make no sense every round. Exactly. It makes it a little more difficult as well. But the way that this format is, this is my personal home league that I run for. We've done it this way. This is our second year doing it this way. But what I do is I break it up. First half is Roto to the All-Star break. We crown a Roto champ. That would be Barwich. Our boy Barwich won it this year. I believe you won that last season, the first half. And Barwich won the second half last season, which is funny because I was in a room with half of the league and we were talking about the picks as they happen. And Barwich is convinced that we let you win this draft.
They let me win.
Yeah. Well, I think he was stealing your own words from mock draft season, right? Like, how are you guys, how are you people letting me do this? It is. So I think he was kind of stealing your verbiage there a little bit, but gotcha. I thought you had a really good team put together. I thought our boy Scott Gamble had some really sneaky picks in there. I think everybody had a couple sneaky picks in there, but it was fun to do this for cash, but it's also a good exercise for us to use in the show as well. So we figured we'd talk about it here.
Yeah, it's like your bets on the players that are going to get right, bets on players that have been like amazing, blah 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 blah. So I'm into it. I really like this. I'm going to like kind of breaking this down. So just wanted to, this is cool, interesting, different episode as we are getting our sea legs back off of the second half. And that's what we're going to be breaking down here in just a little bit. If you guys want, it's a big, big time. This is probably going to be releasing, I guess, on Friday, a little bit later than usual as I'm going to post this. But why it's important, Dynasty ranks, prospect ranks with MLB draft posted. As you are listening to this, it should be posted here on Friday morning. This has got all of the big updates with all the draft guys. I've been doing the freaking rounds, man, on the first year player stuff. And I've kind of made it known. I got some articles out there, but hey, you want to check it all out. InThisLeague.com, 500 prospects, 400 dynasty, first year player rank list, and getting set up to get back into the P180Ps, which is a prospect ADP set of drafts that create a average draft position for prospects, which is fun. So that's some of the cool stuff. Great community. Awesome, awesome GroupMe rooms. And we appreciate you guys that support, and hopefully you consider it. I see every single one of you that sign up, and I love each and every one of you. So know that you can instantly have a place in my heart when you sign up and I see that little notification. And I love you so very, very much. InThisLeague.com, InThisLeague.com. All-Star game, home run derby, all of it was, fine. I actually watched it.
National Anthem was interesting.
National Anthem was the worst of all time. I found out she's like a big drunk and she had to go to rehab after. It was so bad. Like, I just, whatever. Like, dude, I was sitting here. You would be proud of me. I don't watch the like All-Star game. I don't usually watch any of it, to be honest with you. I do.
You were watching like the warm up and the guys coming out and all that
stuff? I watched everything this year because I was also doing work, and I was sitting here. This is the home run derby. I was sitting here doing work. I had it up and I'm listening to her sing, and I'm just kind of like, I was like working on my ranks and stuff. And I was like, looked over. I was like, what? And then like, I kind of get in and she's like, oh, and I was like, what? And then I had to fire out a tweet. I was like, what's going on? And then I was just crying, laughing. I'm like, this is, it's so bad. I don't know what's happening. And then she posted, she's like,
sure. Yep, I'm whatever. You know, it's funny. Cause we were going through it and our, one of our colleagues was like, well, I can't make fun of her now. It's like, not our fault. We can absolutely make fun of her. You know, she signed up for this knowing what she is. So, it was ridiculous, dude. Like I was watching it with my family. You know, they don't like baseball that much, but they love watching the home run derby. So I watch it with them. And my mom was just like, what is wrong with this girl? Is something wrong with her? Is this a joke? What's happening right now? And you could see the crowd after it as well. And it was like, I think everybody was shocked. So like a couple seconds after it was over, I just put in our GroupMe room. I was like, is it me or was that the worst national anthem ever? And then Chad E just said ever in all caps. And then it was just a big discussion about it. I posted it on Twitter too. I mean, obviously everyone has seen it now. It was a big joke. What did you think, forgetting about the national anthem, what do you think of the new home run derby format?
That was okay. I was fine with it. Like I love that they, I think it was cool with the like top four, and then it moves to battles, and then there's like the little bonus structure. I find with all that, the only thing I was just like, get rid of the pitches. The whole like you have 4 minutes or 40 pitch. I was over that. Like I don't need that stuff. I thought it was stupid. Get rid of one of those things. Give me 40 pitches or give me the minutes. Like just get rid of one. And
it was like they were trying to combine everything that they've done, because it was like, okay, you have the untimed round as the bonus round, and Eduardo Perez, God bless him, could not figure out that a 425 homer, only foot homer, only mattered in the bonus time. I mean, Carl Ravage explained it to him like six times, or whoever it was like, no, that only counts in the bonus round, Eduardo. You don't have to hit it in the, because it used to be you had to hit him 440.
It was kind of confusing. 440. I know, like they made it a little year, too complicated.
So I'm not like killing him or anything, but it is kind of, you should explain to the hosts how this thing works before it happens.
It was fine. You know? Yeah, no, I agree with that. It was all fine. It was good. I thought it was hilarious that Teoscar gets a championship and all the Dodgers left just like they would if it was the sixth inning of a normal good Dodger Lord. Game in LA.
Teoscar is doing some stuff right, by the way. Do you see his wife? He is doing some things absolutely correct. Congratulations, Teoscar. Not on win the home run derby, just on your life. You're doing
on your life.
You're doing correct things, man.
I was rooting for Bobby though. I did a CBS. Yeah. I did a CBS Sports HQ hit, and I love Kiana Martin. She was the one I did it with, and we were like talking about the All-Star game and stuff, and then she goes, "Hey," she goes, "So behind you," she's like, "we didn't prepare you for this, but behind you, you got that Bobby Witt Jr. jersey," and this was like 15 minutes before the home run derby, and she's like, "Are you gonna, you going for Bobby?" And I was like, man, I am so embarrassed because I am not. And I go through it and then I'm like, I'm going to be tail between my legs. And she's like, okay, we're going to remember this. And then when he was in the championship, I was ready to tweet her, and lucky they had me on the next day again. And that's how we opened up. And I was like, Kiana, I had your Twitter up ready to just be like, I'm not worthy. I'm an idiot. I'm wrong. When Bobby was, but when I lost all the money from all of my bad MLB All-Star weekend bets from the draft to this, I was just like, I want Bobby Witt to win. It's my guy. And it was good. All-Star game in general was
whatever. Okay. It's fine. I just got to say this. I hate the All-Star game jerseys. Go back to letting them wear.
I think they mentioned they were doing that.
Yeah, I just, and I had to look it up because I've been to a bunch of All-Star games, and the only one I remember seeing them in not their home jersey was last year. And they only, during COVID, they started that. So 2020 was the first year where they did the All-Star game jersey at the All-Star game, which I just don't like. I like the guys playing in their regular big league unis. I think that's the way it should go too, moving forward. But other than that, whatever, the game was fine. It's not as exciting as the home run derby. The draft, anything from the draft real quick you want to get to before we go to this?
Didn't we already talk about that? We did an episode already.
Did we?
Yeah.
You're right.
Don't you remember?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
Yeah, we didn't end up talking anything about the draft. No?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I do have one piece of really cool information that just popped. Jacob Wilson with the A's is officially being called up. And
ooh,
that was something I called earlier in the year. I actually think I put it in an article on Fantasy Pros that I thought Jacob Wilson was a guy that was going to get called up this year. It's actually something the A's did last year. They did it with both Zach Gallof and Soderstrom, I think, coming right off of the All-Star break. And Jacob Wilson getting this move is huge. And he has had a nice little power output as of recent, which is kind of not been his game. That's been something that people are probably still adjusting to in his overall side. Man, I was looking in AL and he's not available. But he 400 hitter, doesn't strike out. He's had 7 homers moving up to AAA, which has been a nice positive boost. Doesn't steal a lot, but he's a guy that's going to hit at the top of that A's order. I think it's a pickup across the board. He's a must pickup in points league, and I think I'm picking him up in a lot of other formats if that power continues to translate. But it, worst case, I think it might be similar to Shanwell, to Nolan Shanwell, where it was like, yeah, a couple of random homers, you know, hits at the top of the lineup, score some runs. Like, that's who Jacob Wilson can be. But I love this call-up, by the way. Big, big, big Jacob Wilson guy.
Yeah, I know. You've been on him the whole year. Our boy Chris Young has also talked Jacob Wilson up a bunch, bought a bunch of his cards and stuff when you were talking him up. So, yeah,
smart.
Pretty good to see this guy. And by the A's hit like 400 homers that last day of the first half. It was nuts. I think Lawrence Butler had 3. Somebody else had 3. It was a lot of homers just that last day anyway. Guys selling out because they got the break. So looking forward to the second half. Hopefully our D-backs can get in it, but let's talk about our draft.
Yeah, so this draft, so this is how it went. Barwich won. So our format was our boy Barwich, he won the Roto. I did last year, so I had the number one overall pick. He won it. He had the number one overall pick. And then we did a KDS type thing where, well, really all of it was, by the way. where you could pick anywhere that you wanted. I ended up, I remember you text me, it was like, I couldn't pick 1 through 5, 11 or 12. And you must have gotten a high one because you picked the wheel.
I ended up fourth.
Oh, it was four. Oh, no, so you got the fourth KDS.
In the first half. Yeah, yeah.
Really? And you moved off of the top four.
I did because I don't want to be around the guys that won the first half of the league. Give me the back end. I was like, all of the Sharks that just won the first half are up at the front. Give me the back.
Well,
the dummies.
My logic,
and then, of course, I wedged myself with CK, which was not a good strategy.
Yeah. So. My logic with it was like, I looked at the board and I saw there was a big six, kind of a big seven. So that's why, like, when 1 through 5, I was like, I'll take six. I'll just be in the middle because I felt, I actually went into this being like, I'm going to have this choice of one of these two players. And it ended up, I had the choice of two of the players I did not expect. So I was at six, Bogman was at 12, 12 team. It's now head to head. And here was what the first round looked like. It started off, I thought, pretty chalk. Shohei Ohtani, Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson, whatever order, I thought that was the top three. Yeah. Aaron Judge was one of the ones I thought I might get at six. He goes four. And Jose Ramirez and Ellie are both on the board. And that was where I was looking. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just take who doesn't go. Well, Juan Soto went five to Gamel. So I had this really tough decision. And I'm going to tell you, Jose Ramirez is the safe option. Better RBIs, all the runs. He's kind of a combo of everything. But in my brain with my team build, I wanted extreme. I wanted extreme homers in Judge or extreme stolen bases with Ellie. I passed on Jose Ramirez for Ellie. It's head to head. I thought, you know, from a week to week basis, Ellie could win me a week solely himself. Not that Jose Ramirez couldn't, but I took a little bit of a gamble, didn't win the first half anyway. So I went Ellie at six. Jose Ramirez went seven. Julio went eight. Freddie Freeman, nine. Lindor, 10. Devers, 11. And you took Bryce Harper at 12, which I liked. I thought the Bryce Harper pick was really good. I had him in like my top 10 of players I would have been willing to take.
I was actually, so he was fine. I mean, I like Harper obviously, but I was kind of between Lindor, Devers and Harper and Guthrie and CK. Made my decision easy for me. And then I ended up taking Scooble because I wanted a pitcher coming back on the end there.
Yeah. I want to talk about that in a second. The thing that did stand out is I thought Jag took a calculated risk in taking Julio that high. I'm not really sure. Julio did not warrant going that high. Not saying he doesn't deserve to be betted on in the second half. We saw a big second half and everything like that. I thought that was kind of interesting. But this draft was built around these values of players that are like hurt and could come back, will come back. There was so much value in the second half, so many interesting, odd things that you guys are going to trip out about. Now, what you just alluded to, the second round was the round of pitchers. We did not have one pitcher go in the first round. Six pitchers went in the second round. You and I both took one. You took the very first pitcher off the board in Tarek Skubal, which I thought was fine. I really thought, I don't know if there was one guy I thought was like a for sure. Whereas like there were probably four or five, to be honest with you, I personally probably would have taken Corbin Burnes on Baltimore as my number one, just because I think of the steadiness, the ERA, a winning team, run support across the board. But it is a really tough division. But Burnes would have been my number one. But guess what? He went fourth on this. So what was your idea with Skubal?
I mean, I just Skubal with the strikeouts and it just seems to be getting better and better. I think he's great. So I don't even think I realized I was taking the first pitcher off the board, but Skubal was the top guy on my board. Skeens went right after him.
That's what I was going to lead to, is that that was the, not like it was a shocker, but as I knew he was going to go in this range.
I thought he was going to go in this round, but I thought it'd be closer to the end.
I was very surprised. So Skeens goes 14 overall in the second half. This is knowing that there could be some type of cap. I mean, Pittsburgh
in a head-to-head too.
I agree.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That is what shocked me. This is a head-to-head playoff format, taking Paul Skeens over Zach Wheeler, Corbin Burns. And I will tell you this, my number two I got as the fifth pitcher is Chris Sale. I took Chris Sale, seventh pick in the second round.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh!
I think he's probably number two on the two or three. It was like, it really was kind of like Burns, Scooble, Sale, like one of those three. Atlanta's going to make a run. He's the top guy. He's good right now. Massive strikeouts, all the wins. So like Skeens over Sale was really surprising to me, as well as Burns, because it went Scooble, Skeens, Wheeler, Burns. It was like four straight. And when that happened, I was like, what are we in for? I was pissed because I was like, great. Because there's going to be no freaking pitcher back. What did you start to go, thank God, or oh crap, when that pitcher run started to happen?
So glad that I took at least one, because I thought we were going to get most of this round as pitchers. And just spoiler alert, lots of pitchers go between that pick and my next pick.
Yeah. So it went Trey Turner was the fifth pick in the second round, which was a great pick. Now, that was like where I might question Jags' first round pick, blew it out of the park with the second round. Having Turner with him was a great pairing. I bet Chad thought he did something with me here, but
no,
he didn't. Oh, okay. Cause I would not have taken him in the second round. Chad took Corbin Carroll with the sixth pick in the second round. I wasn't taking him in the first three rounds. I had already committed to that. So that wasn't remotely close. Would you have even considered him coming back in the third?
In the third, because I pick on the end, I absolutely would have taken him, right? Just at that point, it's like, okay, we'll just take the risk. I think he went a little early. Chad likes to bounce back. He talked about it. He said, I know Welsh is going to think that I'm doing this like one spot in front of him, but I just like what I saw from Carroll the last couple weeks. It's really that last series.
What, hit 250? Did he? But, I mean, he's hitting 212 still. He's not stealing enough base. Like, I want to be. The power did start to tick back up. He obviously had that two homer game, and you know that those are all big positives. Maybe the break is, I'm open to the possibility.
The break could be a big thing, and I think that is why he ended up being here. And that's, you know, it's a coin flip. It's not something I would have done, but I get it.
No, especially when the rest of the round hitter wise. Jordan Alvarez went 9, Ozuna went 10, and Altuve went 12. In between that, I took Sale at 7. Emmanuel Clase went in the second round, and George Kirby to John. There's even hitters in the third round that it just didn't make sense to me, but it could be a big buyback. And he was gifted. I think I gifted him Jose Ramirez. Like, I probably should have, from a safety perspective, taken Ramirez. And if it was Roto, I would have. But with the head-to-head thing, if I get the right good Ellie on the back half of the playoffs, he's going to win it for me alone, but he also might lose everything for me if he's not hitting and not stealing. So
1 for 17 with 15 strikeouts in the playoffs, that's going to hurt,
which he's done a better job at not doing. He had a hit in the All-Star game, but you know, to that point. So where like he was gifted Ramirez, you can maybe take the risk with Carroll. I like the Class A pick in there too. But there were still some kind of glaring things that didn't happen. So the third round, so Barwich went Altuve, and then he got Tucker, Kyle Tucker. I was like, yeah, son of a, because I liked that Tucker pick, because what I started to look at were these guys that could come back right off of the break. and I ended up taking one. Glasnow was on my list. He went third. So John got Kirby and Glasnow with Witt, which is ridiculous. Jaron Duran went to Barrow. Good pick. Logan Gilbert, Pablo Lopez. And then I took Fernando Tatis Jr. And boy, I was gifted today, Thursday. He got a clean MRI report, which it did not have when we did this draft, which he's already been doing some swinging and he should be back hopefully very soon. Mason Miller, awesome pick by Chad, went seventh pick in the third round, followed by Vlad, Luis Castillo, Garrett Crochet, sneaky as hell, Corey Seager, that infuriated me, dude, and you took Adley Rutschman.
Corey Seager going to CK, one pick in front of me. He was the next player on my queue after I took Scooble. So he was the next guy I wanted. I waited all the way, 23 picks, and he went one pick in front of me. It put me completely on tilt. As soon as that happened, I was like, man, CK is going to fall through the cracks here. I'm going to get him in the third. This is going to be such a big advantage. And CK got him one pick in front of me. So I went with Rutschman and then Marte for my back-to-back picks. Kind of regretting Rutschman.
I would have too.
Maybe what I really just, you know, hindsight being 2020, I should have taken Garrett Cole. That is absolutely what I should have done. I should have taken Garrett Cole or Reagans, who you ended up taking in the next round. Like, I should have taken a pitcher to pair with Scooble, and I kind of panicked. And I don't think Rutschman's a bad pick by any stretch. I still think he's fine, but not something I would have done if I got a mulligan there.
I think one thing I would have done if I were you in this situation, and this is a little bit of hindsight, I think you left stolen bases on the table pretty bad. I mean, you do have Jazz and you got Kim, and those might hold you up, but like, you had taken Abrams in the...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! With the third pick, you could have done Abrams Yelich, but like Abrams and Riley or Abrams and Cole. Yeah, I think those would have been what I would have done to pair with that. And then that might have opened up some of the opportunities a little bit later. I mean, the Marte one, Marte has been absolutely insane. Like, you're not going to fault Marte. But relative to, you took Adley in the third, the next catcher didn't go till the eighth round. Yeah. And it was William and Will Smith. And just a quick look, I got Wilson Contreras in the 23rd round.
Yeah, so it's like something that I preached preseason too. And I just was 100% flustered. I think I might have almost autoed. So Adley was my guy there, and hopefully he has the best second half that a catcher has ever had in the history of baseball.
I will
That's
say
what I need from you, Adley. Let's go.
Doing a draft like this, I had multiple moments where I kind of freaked out. It actually happened in the eighth round where I wanted to do something, and then I talked myself out of it. And I last second did something else, and then I got sniped on that player, and it was so brutal. So the fourth round, you took Marte. It went Yelich, Abrams, Schwarber, Riley, Cole. I got Reagans. I ended up getting Reagans. What was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got him at SP 11. So I thought that was good value. I paired him with Chris Sale. Then it went Trout, Imanaga, Nola, Reynolds, and Iglesias. So some things started to open up here. Iglesias ends up being the second closer off of the board. In Atlanta, I get what Barwich was doing there. But the Abrams or the Trout thing really kind of stood out, because that was Gamel taking a stab that Trout is going to be back sooner rather than later. I still don't know if we have like a really clear timeline. And that was the trickiest part. Players that look like they're going to come back right off the All-Star break versus players that have some type of a timeline between late July and early August and what that actually is. That was what was so freaking tricky. So Trout was like in my brain, but not in the fourth round.
I mean, I wasn't thinking about him yet, to be perfectly honest. It could be a very sneaky pick by Gamel there, but it's 7 weeks. 7 weeks to the playoffs. 7 weeks and then 3 weeks of playoffs. That's all you have here. So taking a player to put on the injured list for a little bit, even though we have five spots in this league, you know, taking someone specifically that you know is going to go on the IL could be dicey, especially that early. So I don't know. Barwich kind of did the same thing when he took Kyle Tucker in the third. So you did it with Fernando Tatis, right? Yeah. So that there are, you have to do it at some point, I think, or you can choose to do it at some point, but you really, you got to be on point after you take that pick. So,
well, but I think the timeline was clearer with Tatis, clear-ish, even though it's still a little bit muddy with Tucker. The Trout one is just, it's muddier. It's a lot muddier here.
They're hoping for the end of this month, so we'll see.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of questions in this round. I mean, I think Marte, Abrams, Riley, and Reynolds at that were all like, those were just core, easy guys. I thought Reagan's too was easy to get. I will tell you, I wanted Reynolds later. I didn't think you'd go in the fourth. So that one was really frustrating. The fifth round, Barwich, by the way, is one of two teams going into the fifth that has not taken a starting pitcher. And he will be the only team to leave the fifth without a starting pitcher. He went with the home run derby champ, Teoscar Hernandez. So he went Otani, Altuve, Tucker, Iglesias, and Hernandez. John got Matt Olson, who really fell. And he's paired, you know, Reynolds, Olson, and Witt with two pitchers. That's a pretty freaking good start. Barrow took Helsley. Spencer Steer went to Jesse Severe. Grayson Rodriguez in front of me. And I took Ozzy Albies. Both Ozzy and Simeon were both there. And I was given a lot of thought to maybe even taking both of them. But I took Ozzy Albies. Chad took Luis Robert. Max Fried went to Jag. O'Neill Cruz went ninth pick in the fifth round. Christian Walker, Pete Alonso. And that's where you got Jazz Chisholm with some stolen bases. So did anything stand out in this round? Obviously, this was also a first base round. With Alonzo, Walker, and Olson also going.
I honestly think for value, this is the best round that we've had so far.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
The fifth, there's just, I don't think there's really a miss here. I think all of these are pretty good picks. Maybe Will taking O'Neill is a little bit risky, right? But yeah, that's the only risky pick in this round. I thought everything also else was pretty solid.
He kind of, like, in a playoff format, he took Schwarber and O'Neill Cruz. You could just kind of punt batting average, and that's sure what he did. And it's like, hey, if they're both on and I get those crazy homers, like, I'm kind of locked in. And he also had that with Freddie Freeman. But yeah, I think there's a lot of value in here. Like, Robert's really played slow. But if Robert, dude, with Chatty, if he this is the team of bounce backs. He took Carroll, Cole, and Robert in the first five rounds. If those guys bounce back to pair with Mason Miller and Jose Ramirez, I mean, he might roll. He might really roll. You took Adolis Garcia to start the six. It went Dylan Cease, Naylor, Gallen, Bybee, Clay Holmes. I took Josh Hader, so that was like the good fourth pick closer. Marcus Simeon went right after me. Logan Webb, Brian Turang, Alec Bohm broke my freaking heart. I wanted him coming back so bad. And then Evan Phillips. So Barwich is double tapped closer, and he's the only one to do the double closer thing yet. So he has not taken a starter, but he went double closer. Talk to me about Adolis though. So you're playing the bounce back for Adolis Garcia.
I am. I'm playing the bounce back. I'm hoping it happens. But honestly, the outfield values were bad at this spot. And you can kind of tell because I went Jazz and Adolis. When was the next outfielder to go? Not until the seventh round. And both the outfielders that went in the seventh round were reaches. So I took Adolis, two others went, and then I took another one when we get back to my pick. So I was just sitting there at that point. I've got a first baseman. I got a second baseman. I got a catcher, and I have one pitcher. I don't have anybody in the outfield. We have five outfield spots that have to be filled. So I just took the guys that I thought were the best value at that point.
And that's an important thing to also mention is like this was five outfield. I guess I didn't give the structure. It's pretty standard. It's like three RP spots, starting pitchers, five outfielders, util, corners, like all that type of stuff.
It's
so
nine the outfield spots, was kind I just of stressful. Break it up. Yeah, it's nine spots. I just kind of break it up between four starters, three relievers, and two pitcher spots. So still nine, though.
Yeah, but I don't even think that matters to tell you guys how many it is, how many pitcher spots. But what's important is the relief side, because a lot of people don't play. They'll just play straight pitcher spots. But these leagues, you have to have three relief pitchers. Now, you could do the punt saves and you could go with starters in that spot. You know, a guy like Garrett Crochet qualified at relief pitcher.
Ronel Blanco.
Yeah. So those would be guys that would be like the SPARP type of thing that would make sense. But so like Barwich, goes heavy in two closers into this territory. And what that ended up doing was, let's see, am I going the right range?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he went Phillips down there. Then you took...
No, other way. He went Phillips and then he took Suarez.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he ended that. So then he did something no one expected. He went three closers. So before anyone has a second, he takes a third. So now he's got Phillips, Iglesias, and Suarez. Master plan, because you go big winning teams to take closers. Then it went Rosarena, Machado. Mookie Betts was a really tricky one. I was ready to take him that round, even though there's kind of a diciness, but Jesse took him, and that was unfortunate. Bregman went, I went second closer, and I went with Kimbrel. Same strategy. Kimbrel's been great this year. Baltimore winning. I went with winning closers. Edwin Diaz went next. Freddie Peralta, Johan Duran, Joe Ryan, Justin Steele. And I know you were feeling the closer thing, Boggs, because all those freaking closers went, and you took Camilo Duvall with the 12th pick in the seventh round.
Yeah, and I wanted Duran just to peel the curtain back. Will got him a couple spots ahead of me. I thought that was a really good pick. So I went Camilo Duvall, and then, you know, so I got my first closer, and I really was feeling the heat. I did not want to take closers here. I think, you know, I don't know. I just think closers are overvalued a little bit, and I think they should go later. But I got to follow the run, especially being on the end. And I think, you specifically with hindsight being 2020, I would not have put myself on the end again. I wanted to get away from the guys that won in the front of the league. So I'm like, okay, well, put me towards the back end to get away from those sharks. It didn't matter where I picked here. Everybody's sharks. So...
Sports Grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. I probably would have put myself closer to the middle, so I didn't feel the pressure of those runs afterward. But yeah, I mean, I felt like I had to take one. So Duvall was the best one left.
Also, the values are just so different. You know, like, yeah. I don't think, like, if we're being honest, like, Garrett Crochet shouldn't have fallen where he fell. Like, he fell to, if I got,
there's, you know, a lot of that. Yeah.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He was SP11. I get, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He was SP10. And Coles, by the way, was, or Reagan's was SP12. He shouldn't have been there. He's the number one SP in the first half. But like, the tricky stuff is, so where do you buy? So if you guys are wanting to also comprehend some of this for like your leagues in the second half, like, that was about the value, was SP10 for Garrett Crochet, because there are some concerns about how much will he play second half. I would have put him up closer to, I probably would have taken him after Glasnow. I actually would have probably taken him before Kirby, and I love Kirby. So like SP7. So you can get an understanding by looking at this draft, is like, that was the value of Crochet. But strategy aside, valuations are really tough here. Round eight, we're not going to go every single round, probably up to 10 and just talk about a couple values after. I will tell you this, though. This is where like the first real snipe happened, and it was you. I wanted Anthony Santander. His numbers are so absurd right now. I think he's going to have a big second half. I think he's going to hit over 40 homers. And you took him first pick in the eighth. And I was like, come on, dude. That one frustrated me.
Yeah, I mean, it surprised me a little bit because he's not hitting well. 237 this season, but he has 24 homers. He's driven in 58 runs. He's a lot of thump. So, I want the power guys. So taking Santander was kind of easy. And that was, you know, we were getting into that point where I said, specifically with the outfielders, there's just a lot of, I don't know, like, are these guys, because the next guys to go, just to pull the curtain back, Riley Green went after that. So that's a fine pick, but it was Merrill with a big first half, but who knows about the second half. Rooker, same thing. Doyle, who's a breakout. Profar, who's a breakout in this round. So it's all kind of breakouts or guys that didn't perform up to snuff. There were other guys that went later that I thought were better. Kwan, Nimmo, your pick of Lane Thomas in the ninth round, I thought was outstanding. So there were other guys, but you kind of got into, I don't know what a right value is here. So just give me the guy with the most power. And that was Santander.
Well, also in a head-to-head format, like if you're not going to compete heavy in steals, which you kind of weren't, like you should lean into the power. You should try to win those categories. Like that's what you can do. Like in Roto, never going to promote trying to punt, but you could punt stolen bases if you want. And if you do it right on hitting runs, RBI, homers, that's three of the five categories. If you're competing in batting average, which you got like Harper and Cattell, you might have brought that down a little bit with guys like Santander and Garcia, but those are huge power plays. You could win three of the five offensive categories. So I thought it was an interesting play. William Contreras, Will Smith were the next picks after you. Gleyber Torres, Riley Green. Jackson Merrill was a snipe for me, and it slowed me down. Here was my moment of the draft. I wanted Stephen Kwan. I felt I had opened myself up a little bit on the batting average front with Ozzy, Tatis, and Ellie. And I was like, I'm going to make up for this with Kwan. But then I was like, I don't know if anyone's looking at him. I decided to go the third closer last second to lock in. We had three RP spots. I wanted elite closers, and I took Andres Munoz. It goes Gausman, Lugo, Rooker, Doyle, Profar. I'm safe. I did want Rooker at some point. Okay, whatever. Hurwicz takes Stephen Kwan with the first pick in the ninth round. And I was like, you have got to be crapping. I was so pissed about that. It then went Nimmo, Morel, Rafaela, Framber in the ninth. I took Lane Thomas, as you mentioned, lots Such of stolen. Pick. So now I'm really leaning into my stolen bases. That's a big thing that I want to do here. Lodolo, then it goes Jansen, Bednar, Hauk, who I wanted next round, didn't get, Suzuki. And then again, you must have felt the weight where you took Alexis Diaz, because that was about the marker when you took Alexis Diaz, where the closers were about to end. I thought Kirby Yates should have gone higher, but that was kind of about it. And you got your second closer in.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's, you know, after that, it's questions. It's Hoffman, who's kind of new to the role. Seawald, I guess, is still locking it down in Arizona for now. Kirby Yates, as you mentioned, kind of went late. But there is just not a lot on the board. And again, I'm on the end. I have so much time between picks. So, yeah, I felt like I was really feeling the pressure, and I had to take Alexis Diaz.
The 10th round, you got Ranger in the 10th. So, again, that's that whole, like, people buying into the second half. I mean, that's wildly down there. SP, Willie Adames, Tyler O'Neill, George Springer, Jeff Hoffman, Hunter Green. I thought I got super sneaky on everybody here, and I really think I did. Took Wyatt Langford. Seventh pick in the 10th round. And I think because he had, you know, been injured and missed time, and also the struggles early, he just didn't rank very well on here. But if you'd been paying attention, he's been amazing that last month. He was incredible. So I was so excited about that. Pete Fairbanks, Correa, Cal Raleigh, Kyle Finnegan, and Westberg. That finished out the top 10 rounds. It's 120 players. There's some crazy stuff that happened later. Devin Williams to Barrow in the 11th round. Great pick. Love the sneakiness of that. I got Michael Harris, another one of those guys that was traveling with the Braves. He could be activated off. That was, I thought, a sneaky one. Kirby Yates went in the 11th. I got Luis Gil in the 12th. And I know it's scary because he could get really shut down, but maybe it's an early shutdown and he's good for the playoffs. I needed it because I only took two SPs, so I took the risk, but dude, I got him outside the top 120 and he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. Michael King was a super sneaky one by Barrow in the 12th round that I liked. I got Xander Bogaerts in the 13th, as did Bo Bichette go right in front of me, and Royce Lewis. That was kind of this weird Jesse Severe.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Gamble and then me of interesting values. I'm just going through a couple and then you can throw some out here. Churio went in the 13th. Brandon Font, you took in the 14th, which was really good. We had Lourdes go right after me in the 14th, which I was super pissed about. And then one that garnered some conversation in our group, and again, this was another one I thought everybody forgot about. I took James Wood in the 15th round, and I think everybody just forgot about him. And I know that got some chatter in our in the chat.
That was the point at where Barwich is like, we're letting Walsh win this league.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League,
why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull? Hey.
Yeah, you guys didn't hear him say it, but his face was saying it. So, but I thought Willie Castro was such a good pick for me. This dude was an all-star. He qualifies at second, third, short, and outfield, and he steals bases. I got him and Kim. So, I thought that was a decent pick for as late as I got him.
Yeah. And what really stood out as interesting to me is valuations outside the top 10 round. Maybe we could even post this board on Patreon.
Reese Hines went in the 16th.
Well, that's kind of like what I'm getting at is like the players that went outside the top 10 that people don't buy into really. Helio Ramos went in the 15th round. That
he went too late too. Yeah.
James Wood, people kind of forgot about. Vinny Pasquantino in the 17th
round. I thought Nick Gonzalez, who I took at 19, people kind of forgot about.
I took Brandon Marsh in the 19th round. He's almost a double digit homer and stolen base guy. Wilson Contreras fell in there. You know, there were some really cool values that happened later that might mean some. Jose Miranda, that was one I really wanted. Barwich got me on him too. That because he's dealing with a little bit of an injury, people forgot, but like he went in the 21st round in here. So it might be worth taking a look at this board if you want to like have some concept of where some values moving forward are, because these are people that all paid money. This is a played out league that we just drafted based off of the valuations right now. And there are plenty of guys that aren't necessarily being given their benefit, but then there's guys like Paul Skeens, who it's like, I don't care if he's going to be held down. He was the second starting pitcher taken overall. And I mean, you know, this is just me, but like, you know, Adolis went two rounds before Merrill, and, you know, Rooker went after guys like Adolis, and Rooker is playing as good. You know, so the valuations are really, really interesting. The roster is just as we end here. So this is what I'm going in with. Wilson Contreras, Mountcastle at first, Ozzie at second, Elliott third, Xander at short. I took David Fry as kind of a complimentary player. These are my starters, by the way. India, Willier Abreu, Langford, Tatis, Lane Thomas, James Wood, Marsh. But I have Max Muncy, Evan Carter, and Michael Harris on IL in a head-to-head for the playoffs. So if I can put Muncy in at corner, get Fry on the bench, Carter in for Abreu, and Michael Harris in, probably at like util, I think my starters are good. And then I got Reagans, Rodon, Sale, Stone, Fetty, who I think is going to get traded, Pivetta, Luis Gil. I also took Jordan Montgomery and Yamamoto for a playoff run to go with Hader, Kimbrel, and Munoz. Like, I feel really good about this team, but I can't have too many of these guys sitting on the IL and not get production because I do have to make the freaking playoffs. That's what's important here.
Yeah, it's a sprint to the finish. Like I said, 7 weeks is the very end. My roster from top to bottom here: Rutschman, Harper, Cattell, Nolan Arenado at third, Ha-Seong Kim, Matt Vierling, Nick Gonzalez, Jazz Chisholm, Adolis Garcia, Jock Peterson, Santander, Tolia, Jake McCarthy, Willie Castro, and Dalton Varsho are on the bench. My starters are Sonny Gray, Tariq Skubal, Ranger, Brandon Pfaadt, with Zach Eflin, Jose Soriano, and Jordan Hicks. And then my closers are Alexis Diaz, Camilo Duvall, James MacArthur, Jason Foley, and I took Kopech. So I got a bunch of closers at the end as well for some dart throws.
I thought it was fun again, and I highly suggest people maybe check out doing something like that. And I don't know if I'd be into, like, I only play a second half league, but I just like the idea of the structure. And I also think it sets up a good understanding of what valuations look like in the second half, especially for trades, because it's fun to do the, like, hey, you know, this is a breakout guy and stuff like that. And I do that work, look over the last 30 days, 45 days, and you can start to play some of that. But this really put it to the test and how I felt about values. And, you know, what I learned about myself was I value Stephen Kwan, I think, higher than I had him ranked. And I changed that on my redraft ranks. I think his value of what he provides for the structure of a team, especially a head-to-head, way higher than I was giving it credit for. Also, Ellie. I moved Ellie up because, you know, there's some roto risk maybe with both of those guys, but from a head-to-head perspective, could win your league, man. I put him as top six and rest of season ranks because he has been so good. So hopefully you guys dug that. Maybe we'll put the draft board over on Patreon if you want to check it out. Next week, we are back to normal. We are going to get back to it in our final sprint. Probably a lot of trade talk that's going to be going on. A lot of trade rumors that are floating around as baseball kicks back here on Friday. So hopefully we'll have some of that to talk about as well. You can catch me over on a cool thing for you guys over on Fantasy Pros. I mean, it's not cool that Joe is tapering back a little bit, but I'm going to be doing some shows with Casey Bubba and Joe Arrico. So be on the lookout for that. They'll be joining leading off on a couple episodes. So go to Fantasy Pros and check that out. Is it the Welsh and Bogman Sports? Good luck, everybody. And we will talk to you next week for the second half of the MLB season. Peace out.
See you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.